CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, this is the day before your long weekend begins. So basically, it's the last day of work for a few days for you, which is excellent news. I'm sure everybody's thrilled about that. If you've just joined us for the first time ever on our YouTube channel, you need to like and subscribe. You see, the more indication we get from you that this is what you want, the more stuff we're going to do. And in case you haven't noticed in the last while, it really does help because we put a lot of visual stuff into it too, and that will make the show that much better. So if you haven't already, like and subscribe on YouTube, and then we can do all the more for you over the next coming days. Hello, Pumelele. Pumi Mashiko's here.
Good morning.
Morning. Sia Sangweni's here. Good morning, Sia.
Ivan Chwale.
Yeah, don't worry. I was
good
worried.
Good morning.
I was worried I had internet issues this morning too, because it just wasn't. You know when the thing doesn't reply, kind of like when you send a letter to government and you just don't get a response, and you think, oh well, okay, the thing doesn't reply. It doesn't reply. The internet just doesn't. It doesn't talk to you, and you think, oh no. What is that song? That song that they play in the memes? Oh no.
Oh yes.
Oh no. That's how I feel every time that happens.
I have a friend who says that technology isn't like witchcraft. You know, technology, it always works. And I was like, I don't know, guy.
No.
You
know?
How great of them to think that. No, there was, for me, half a second where I thought, could I be intentionally being punked by these guys for April Fools? Then I thought, no, they wouldn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, April, the 1st of April, well, is not a thing anymore.
I mean, yesterday you had to go into...
Of course it is.
Yesterday you had to go into the studio, Sia. You had to go all the way to the office to do the show. So your April Fools is done. You've paid up front. You don't have to worry.
No. I just don't like the idea of April Fools. I don't know. I just don't do it. I don't want to partake in it. I don't want to. I don't know. It's unsettling.
Charles Mtibe says, good morning. Easter weekend loading. That is correct. And our friend Fundo Tlatla, who's been part of the Cliff Central team from day one. You know, it'll be 7 years at the end of next month, or the end of this month, beginning of next month. Isn't that amazing?
Right.
Seven years, Pumi. You remember. You were there too.
I still can't get over it. I saw your post yesterday. I saw your post yesterday about 7 years, and I had a moment of,
I know.
Wow.
Well, I mean,
seven.
Really, Pumi's been part of our family since before Cliff Central, but it was cool. I had to post it yesterday. Greg, who really is running everything at Cliff Central at the moment, and he's doing an unbelievable job. Because, you know, there's just after 7 years, you know you've got the right people in place. I mean, we've got Sia, we've got Greg, we've got Dory, we've got Simpiwe, we've got Spike, we've now got Homolelo, and we've now got Andiswa, and the place has grown. It's grown beautifully, and I'm so proud of where we're at. But Greg sent me this screenshot yesterday.
Sorry, that became like an Oscar acceptance speech. Where I'm like, please don't forget the important people. Who else?
No, I mean,
listen, as you were rattling off names,
it's so funny.
I was just like counting the mic size. Like,
you know, I obviously in the beginning, you know, Rena and I were kind of important, but we've become steadily less and less important as the years have gone by, which I love. No, I really do. I can't wait till I'm obsolete, until I'm replaceable. That'll be a good day. But yesterday, Greg sent me the screenshot of how we are the number one podcast in South Africa. And we've kind of been, throughout the 7 years, we've been bouncing around the top three. We've usually been number one or number two, occasionally number three. So, you know, that's not something I can take credit for. That's something that you, if you listen to us, can take credit for. So even if you feel on the 1st of April like you haven't achieved a whole lot, trust me, for me and for Pumi and for Sia this morning, you're the real hero. You're the hero. You've made us what we are, and we couldn't do any of this without you. So thank you.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's so, also, we don't realize how wide-reaching the platform is, right? Mm. Because it's on the internet, anybody anywhere can get it at any time. I was in a meeting yesterday, in a virtual meeting with two guys in Japan. So I'm sending a shout out because I know we've got a listener in Japan.
Yeah.
And one of the guys says to me, I virtually met him for the first time yesterday. He says, well, you know, Pumi, I just want you to know that my wife listens to Cliff Central.
Oh, so how cool. Voice is always... That is so cool. What an amazing thing to find cool out. Yeah, I love it. Pum,
how
those,
cool was that?
Pums, those are very bling earphones, those new ones. Headphones.
Ooh.
And I just want you to know that they are, can you see the label?
No, tell me what they
are. Montblanc,
baby. Oh, Montblanc, my God. Those must be wow. You are now, you're wearing, Pumi's wearing the most expensive headphones that we've ever had on the show. That's pretty amazing. Wow.
Wait a minute, girl.
Heavens.
How you did that, girl?
Look at you.
You have to be, grown.
Wow.
Grown.
You see, the one thing I haven't gotten into yet as an adult or as a young adult now setting my life up are pens. And I understand it as something that is very, like, odd to some, but my grandfather was a pen collector.
Yeah.
And, like, the old school, he had the case for them. I still don't even know the various compartments of, like, what goes and where, but, like, it was a thing.
Let me show
it was
you
an
something.
Event every so often when he'd go to a specialized store and get the ink refill.
Let me show you
and
something.
All of. Yeah, and all of the
something.
Pens were so, engraved with his initials.
There's a little Mont Blanc pen that someone gave me as a birthday present one year, and it's a proper one. It's got the little ink cartridge. No, I used to collect pens because I still write letters. I'm one of those bizarre people.
Yeah,
who still writes the letters every now and then. So this is a proper ink pen. You know, like the nib and everything. So that's the real deal.
I just have. Oh, that is gorgeous.
And then there's also a little. There's a little gold one like that. So that one, I think, is either silver or platinum, and this one's a gold one. There they are. So those are the real things.
I only have one so far that's worthy, which is a Balmain pen.
Oh, that's very nice.
And it's still even in its case. I've never used it. I don't know when I'll use it, but...
Well, while we're that's amazing, Sia. But you must use them. I mean, you must just take it out and use it for doing your notes for the show and everything. I swear, it'll feel like you're doing something important when you use proper equipment. Don't you agree, Pumi?
When you pull it out in a meeting and write your notes, then people actually take you seriously. Oh, they're like, this guy cares about his writing instrument. It's like a watch, you know. These things are
so great.
And then this is just silly because I bought it for the glamour effect of it, but it's a crystallized pen.
Oh, nice.
And it's still in its casing. But also, won't use it just yet. It's
no, that's out, awesome. So that is really
that's
cool.
That's also sitting there.
Now, you know, so I know a lot of people don't use pens anymore. So it's always nice to see when someone has a very cool pen. Look at this one, Sia. You'll like this. In fact, I'm going to give this to you. It's gold and it's got a little fan on it. So what you do is you switch the fan on.
He's still my flaming heart.
So in summer, you turn it on and there's a little fan to keep you cool while you're busy writing. So I'll give this to you, Sia. It's not something I'll ever use. But you know what?
That is incredible.
Pumi's right. Like, if you use the right equipment, you just feel important and other people take you seriously. And, you know, it's not a question of showing off. Like, I don't think anybody really cares what anyone else's pen looks like, especially because we don't use them much anymore. But it's so nice for you, even if it just gives you personal satisfaction. It's like a lot of people who buy a certain pair of shoes or a watch or whatever it is that they love, they don't really do it for others, hey? There are some people, obviously, who are just doing it to show off. But a lot of people are doing it just for their own satisfaction, and then when they look at their watch for the time, which you might do a few times a day, they go, oh, that just reminds me, you know, that gives me, in Yiddish, they call it nachas. That gives me a feeling of satisfaction and happiness.
Self-satisfaction.
Mm.
Yeah, these things, you do them for yourself. Because in those moments when you feel good, it changes your entire demeanor and your confidence levels, all of those things. Wonderful. Washes over you.
JP points out that left-handed people have a real struggle using fountain pens because obviously they get stuck when writing, and they will then have to go over the ink with their hand, which is a bit of a pain.
I didn't know that.
Oh, shit. Wow.
Dean wants to know if I have a pen pal. no. Do you remember that? That was a thing, hey, before email, before social media. That was a thing. Did you ever have a pen pal, Pums? You look like somebody who was really, you know, studious at school and used to write to someone in like France or Germany or Japan or whatever it might have been.
No, I've never had a pen pal, but when I was on TV, as a TV show, I used to get lots of letters from prisoners.
Oh,
Did
yes.
Did that count?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that counts. You were.
True story.
Yeah. Pummies. And it's so funny because, because your show wasn't really directed towards the prison population at all. Your show was like a parenting show.
It was a parenting show, right? And I'd get letters. So yeah, you think you're the first person to ever call Mrs. Pumi. I'd get letters from like prisoners saying, Sis Pumi, and, oh, you know, complimenting you and loving the show, missing. It's a thing. Letters from prisoners. It's a thing.
That's so cool.
Oh, good morning, inmates. I love
Well, I mean, think about it. Like your prison population, and I remember
and lots
also,
of proposals. Lots of proposals.
Oh yeah, for
like
sure.
Also. Ooh.
And Pums, because they're in prison.
Shooting their shots.
They are loyal viewers, so they would have watched every single week, and it was like the highlight of their week, right?
See?
I remember we used to have radio listeners who were in prison as well. And in fact, there was this one guy who used to call in every now and then. He would use up his weekly phone call to call into the show. It was awesome.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. As long as it's above board then, because I think they're allowed for radios in their cells. And then, okay, you go out and you call using the payphone.
Yeah.
But there's some people like, you know, yeah, those with
contraband cell phones.
And cell phones. Yeah.
I wonder if there's anyone listening to us right now on streaming in a prison somewhere in the world. If you are that person, let us know.
Please let there be someone.
Yeah.
You can either let your heart soar and be free. Tell us.
Yeah, please tell us that you're listening in prison. I would love that. Very, very cool. So, Sia, you just mentioned your Balmain pen, and I was just thinking about that song, which whenever anyone mentions any of those words or those places from that song, I always think of that song by, who is it? Where Do You Go to My Lovely? Peter Sarsted. And
that song.
You know which song I mean? Where do you go to my lovely when you're alone in your bed? Tell me the thoughts that surround you. I want to look inside your head. Yes, I do. You don't know it?
you might have to play it for the people.
Oh, man. So it goes, he starts off with, and you'd love it, Sia, because it's all about this jet set woman who comes from nothing, but she lives this incredible life. You know, she goes, she lives in a fancy apartment on the Boulevard Saint-Michel where you keep your Rolling Stone records. And your friends with Sacha Distel. And then it goes through all of these different things that she does, which makes her sound like she's just the most popular, famous, beautiful girl in the whole world. And her name is Marie-Claire. And in fact, that's where the magazine gets its name from.
The magazine got its name.
That's right. The name Marie-Claire was from that song. And she, like, when the snow falls, she's found in Saint-Moritz with the others of the jet set, where you sip your Napoleon brandy, but you never get your lips wet.
You know, as you live, and
you go on your summer vacations. You're found in Biarritz or something. You go to Juan Le Pas, where you wear with your carefully designed topless swimsuit. You get an even suntan on your back and on your legs.
Yes.
Oh my God! Those lyrics.
I found the lyrics.
Those lyrics are just beautiful. You know the Aga Khan. He sent you a racehorse for Christmas, and you keep it just for fun, for a laugh. Just unbelievable. I mean, that was.
That's the type of life I need.
I know the song is.
That's what you should
the
be
song. If you just changed Marie Claire to Sia Sangweni, it would be your song, really. Because you basically
finally,
you know everybody. You know, you speak Russian and Greek. And the young men that move in your circles, they hang on every word you speak. It's just a beautiful, beautiful song. Yes.
So I finally watched the Tina Turner documentary.
Ah, yes. Tell us.
Really, really incredible. Wicks, but yeah. I got my means and ways. I can hook you up. Don't worry.
Yeah. He knows a guy.
Yeah. So
what? I'm here.
Yes.
So tell us about the documentary. Like we're all hanging on bated breath here.
But to tie into this song a little, part of the documentary is shot in Zurich in Switzerland, where Tina now lives. And my goodness, I've never had the urge to move to Zurich, have tea out, looking at my little quaint garden.
Oh, my God.
And just have a delight of a life. It looks like she lives in a dollhouse now. And it's not even about how massive it is, you know. It is just about she has now crafted the life of her dreams.
Oh, man.
You can tell that everything that she has now is exactly the way she likes it.
Mm.
The furniture, the carpets, the chairs, the tea sets. It's everything that she wants, and she does not want for anything. In the documentary, she and her husband alluded to the fact that they'll never go to America again. And that was it. They said goodbye. They've done the tours. They've even done she now has this Tina musical, which I predict is just going to go on and make oodles of money for her. Yeah. So she'll never have to work again. So that was it. That's her swan song. And now she just sips tea in Zurich.
God, what a woman.
Although she deserves it, hey?
Oh, totally.
She deserves it. I mean, the woman did start out picking cotton in a cotton field, like a semi-slave.
That's right.
In her lifetime.
So what an incredible story. Tell me about the husband, Sia, because I don't know anything about him. Does he appear often in the documentary? I thought he was a very private guy.
Yeah, they do appear together. They've done some things together here and there. His name is Erwin Bach, and he was in a record label exec back in the day, and that's how they actually initially met. Tina was touring in Europe, and he's 15 years younger than her. And
he came to pick her up from the airport.
It's such a sweet story. Yeah, yeah. I thought it was cute.
Wow.
Literally with no pomp and ceremony. Just know with no pomp and ceremony, Irvin went to pick her up and they had this car ride together. And that's when she says she first fell in love. But yeah, they were together for about 27 years before they even got married. They got married a few years ago, 5-6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, now they're just living together as happy as can be without the Ike references. Jeez.
No, sure.
Whatsoever.
No.
I listened to a podcast with her a couple of years ago where she talks about how when Ike passed away, she felt nothing. There was nothing there for her because she's had that experience, cut it out of her life. You know, she's Buddhist, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So this is, and even that part of her spirituality is a very big thing, and just the coming to a close, you know, the ending of stuff for her is, you know, when it's over. That part of the life has come and gone. And
so the obvious question I have to ask you guys is: if you were a musician, would you rather go the Amy Winehouse route, where you blow up instantly and you have this incredible career and then you're dead before you're even 30 years old. And everybody has candlelit vigils for you when you die and they weep your passing, gone too soon, blah, blah, blah. And you have this blast of a life, you know, you sort of burn out quickly. And all the kind of life like Tina or Dolly Parton or any of those people, where you just quietly and elegantly fade away. Which one do you think is preferable if you want to make a mark on humanity?
That's a hard one.
No, I want to have a long, graceful life.
I think so too.
You just want to live forever.
When you were just
not even forever, but I just think it's cool to move and evolve with the times, and you are in that legend category, mm-hmm. that Amy 28 club, and you're dead, and it's there's always just that feeling of shame when you think about that person.
I don't know if there's always just a feeling of shame. So I've been listening to a lot of Whitney Houston.
Mm.
Just because I've been missing her a little bit, and just listening to, and I mean, Whitney Houston's story is a tragic story by all accounts. You know, she came on the scene and she was this gorgeous, beautiful,
wow.
almost like mostly, you know, virginal being.
Well, I remember the exact occasion you're talking about, because there was that Grammy performance that she did of One Moment in Time. She was wearing that white dress. And it was really the first time that she'd performed on a stage like that, that big. And I just remember every single person in that audience jumped up on their feet as if they'd seen God. There was no other way to describe it. And Whitney was, she was just magnificent. Not a week goes by for me where I don't listen to one of her songs and marvel at that woman's voice. That voice put everyone else, with one or two exceptions, maybe Aretha Franklin, you know, maybe one or two of those old greats. Apart from them, though.
Who she called Auntie Ree.
Oh, my God. But really, Whitney Houston was extraordinary. And as you say, such a tragic end to such a great life. Now, Tina, on the other hand, is ending it with such dignity, you know. And, I mean, she's not dead yet. She's still got a life ahead of her. When Sia was just describing how she chooses to live now, and she's got all the things she wants around her, she's chosen the place she wants to be, the man she wants to be with. I love that. I just think that's such a great way to go.
Yeah.
Look, I just think the contribution to the body of that particular industry, I don't think any one of them is more or less than the other. I think, you know, some people have like 3 years, but what they contribute is still going to be for years to come. People are going to listen to that music, hear the fullness of that story, and still marvel.
No, I think that's exactly right. Venetia, interestingly enough, we were just talking about people all over the world who listen to us. Venetia says, my husband's aunt in India follows Cliff Central, mostly because she was checking my profile up, but she is aware. Oh, well, that's nice. That's very cool.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I think that's lovely. So thanks, Venetia. We love to hear about people who are listening to us all over the place. And if you are, and if you have family or friends who are listening to us in far-flung corners of the world, let us know. There's still two countries that we've never been heard in, technically, because the one we did have a listener who went to North Korea on holiday. Because they were, they lived in China and they went to North Korea on a trip, which must be very exciting because only a few people in the world can say they've been there. And they took a podcast of ours in with them. So technically we've been heard in North Korea, but there's still, I think the one place in the world that we haven't been heard yet is Borneo. So if you know anyone in Borneo, I'd love to be able to say on, you know, our birthday in a month's time, I'd love to be able to say even Borneo. So if you know anyone there that's listening to Cliff Central, then even if you don't know anyone, make them listen to Cliff Central just so I can say it.
Just send them a link.
Yeah, there we go. All right. We do have
these
to get...
are just two very simple pleas
exactly.
of our listeners.
I mean,
this
really.
Borneo, and also if you're in prison, tell us.
we don't ask a lot. We're not asking much. This morning, the Burning Platform is coming to you, so stick around for that. We will check in on all the big stories in the news this week, all the stories that you need to know about so that we can fill you in, make sure that you're all up to date with what's going on. And we'll talk a little bit about what's going on in the ANC, because that really is interesting. It seems finally some people are manning up. And Phumlani Madjozi will be one of our guests on the Burning Platform, along with Pumi. We also got Sean Sanders joining us later on with Revix. But first, the five things you need to know. Let's start off with the first story in the news this morning. This is from Business Insider. The Reserve Bank has seized more than 19 million rand from the Gupta's Sahara Computers business. That's all they could get out of it. It's 19 million rand. That used to be an enormous business. I mean, One of the people who worked there was Duduzane and his twin sister Duduzile Zuma. They obviously don't work there anymore. It's now defunct. They used to have these offices. Pums, I'm sure you drove past them a couple of times too on the N1 between Pretoria and Johannesburg. In fact, I will never forget.
Absolutely. That's also where ANN7's office was.
Correct.
Yes. And you know what? I can't help but always look that way.
You know what's so ironic is while Thabo Mbeki was president, his car broke down once on the highway. I don't know if you remember this. And irony of ironies, it broke down right outside Sahara Computers. And if you are, you know, if you're a mystical person or you believe in symbolism or portents, if that isn't a picture, like having Thabo break down right outside Sahara Computers before we even knew who the Guptas were, that maybe was telling you a story. His car ground to a halt on the highway while he was president. And so did his presidency grind to a halt in front of the Guptas at a point a little bit later on. By the way, speaking of Thabo, and we'll talk about this in the Burning Platform, but apparently he was part of the conversation over the last couple of days in the ANC. He was suddenly kind of dusted off and brought back out of the storage room, and he had quite a lot to say, old Thabo. So I'm pleased to see that he hasn't outlived his usefulness. So the South African Reserve Bank seized these 19 million rands from Sahara Computers. And the forfeiture, which was gazetted by Governor Cuban Naidu within the Treasury's powers of exchange control regulations, was issued on Wednesday. Under those rules, seized funds are deposited directly into the National Revenue Fund. Atul Gupta started Sahara Computers in 1994, not long after first arriving in South Africa. He was joined by his brothers, and the hardware distribution company was regarded as their first significant business interest on South African soil. Sports fans will remember that they sponsored a number of cricket events.
And can we just state that they named their company Sahara, and it has no link to the very big Indian computer company named Sahara.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, so wow. They just came in, their name. And I'm quite certain that it was probably to just create some kind of link, you know. These three Indian guys have a company named Sahara that's into computers. Surely it's linked to like the big Indian Sahara.
That's so crafty.
It's not.
That's so crafty. Wow. I didn't know that. Here's another story that is slightly irritating. Gauteng has paid 501 million rand in medical negligence claims. That's according to the Attorney General. The Auditor General. Tsakani Maluleke. And Sia, I'd love to have Tsakani Maluleke on the show one day because she seems to really be on top of things. On Wednesday, she said Gauteng has paid over 500 million rand in claims for medical negligence through the year 2019 and 20, even though only 2.6 million was budgeted for. That's a big discrepancy. She's released the outcome of her department's audits, which show that all provinces have been unable to budget for these claims. Maluleke said in all provinces, health and education were the two departments that couldn't budget properly and ended up overspending. Do you see why I want to talk to her? Because she's the person who has to go and pick up the pieces afterwards. So a huge discrepancy there. And again, just showing you that in health and education particularly, we don't have the best people counting the beans. And we need to find better people who can do that. Four suspects were wounded. Yes?
I'd just like to say, please don't judge me for this, but every once in a while there comes a person who piques my interest for no particular reason.
Yes.
There was Makosi Khoza at a point, just that fabulous hair.
Yes.
I wanted to be in her presence. Yeah. Then there was also...
And then Nick.
She does. Sorry, no. And then there was, what is it, Maxwell in the US with those church hats? What's her name?
Who are you talking about?
Church hats. Maxwell, what did she do?
It starts with she's a Democrat with those fabulous, this old lady, middle-aged lady.
Congresswoman.
You mean Maxine Waters.
Maxine Waters, yes. Yeah. But she has now been replaced by Tsakani Maluleke. I don't know what it is. She has this regal something about her.
Oh, absolutely.
She's a gorgeous, gorgeous woman.
Yeah, let me see if I can find you a picture of her. She really is quite extraordinary.
General.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find you a picture of her quickly, and then you can see what Sia's going on about, because she really is. No, she's a great. I mean, listen, also in politics in South Africa and in government in South Africa, it's slim pickings, right? There are not that many people who you'd actually like to meet. So when someone looks glamorous and they look really interesting, then they do stick out in government. So let me show you. This is what she looks like. Tsakani Maluleke. Here's what she is. She's now doesn't that look like someone who's got her head screwed on right? And she's in charge.
Nine men.
Yeah, and she's in charge of counting the money. So no fool either. You don't think so, Pumi? You think she's dressed up? You think she's an empty shell?
No, I do not think that she's an empty shell. I don't appreciate you,
objectifying
Sia,
her.
Commodifying the woman's looks like this.
No. Look, I did not say she's not fit and qualified to do a job. I didn't say anything about
her intellect. You're just saying your interest.
But I am saying, you know, if you haven't flaunted, like, why do you think I'm always half-dressed on this show? I haven't, and I flaunted. Doesn't mean anything about my intellect. Use it. Great on you. She can go and she can audit it in general, but also she can look fantastic while doing it.
Well, let's move on with the headlines before Sia and Pumi start fisticuffs with each other. So four suspects were wounded in a shootout with police in Goodwood. You know, Cape Town really has earned its reputation as being a pretty dangerous place. Four armed suspects were wounded during a high-speed chase with police in Goodwood. The SAPS flying squad spotted them. They were driving a stolen vehicle earlier on Wednesday. Provincial police spokesperson Sergeant Noloyiso Rwekana. Yo, did I say that right? Rwekana. I'll take any guidance you have. Rwekana. Rwekana. Sure. Is it Rwekana?
I think the R is like a
Rwekana. Okay, got you.
So like Sergeant,
right. Sergeant Noloyiso Rwekana said that the car sped off when they spotted the officers. After searching the area, they spotted the vehicle, five occupants, the driver sped off, and then there was a shootout between them. They were shot and wounded. They were transported to a hospital under police guard for treatment, and the police confiscated two prohibited firearms with ammunition, as well as a vehicle that was reported stolen in Musenberg. Good. Well done, police.
I have to tell you this. Guys, I have to tell you what happened to me driving home from picking Kanaho up at school yesterday.
Yes.
Driving down the road. I see these two guys, a car, a VW, silver VW, mm-hmm. with one guy in it, with the doors open, and two of the other guys. And there was another red VW, like maybe a GTI, maybe or Polo, something like that.
Okay.
But the two guys were trying to pry. I think they were trying to pry the lights off the stationary one, like stealing the lights away. And as I, you know, they looked suspicious as I was like approaching. It looked suspicious what they were doing because they were hunched over, like trying to pry. And so I hooted at them. So like, yeah, no, I'm that person. What are you doing?
You did a Karen.
Quickly ran into the absolutely. Yeah. Then they like quickly ran into their car and sped off. So they totally were doing something like shady to that car.
Oh, you stopped them. You stopped them, Pums.
I don't know if I stopped them. I think I just like freaked them out. And I hope that the people from the house when I hooted came running out. But also I had to drive away because you know you don't know. But
then you'll be.
I do also want to say. Well, maybe they've like got guns or whatever, and I've got my child in the car. You know, you also have to be sometimes when you're parents, you have to be a little bit serious about these things. So I also drove away, but they came like they left and came speeding up behind me.
Oh no.
But three, and wait for it, very shady looking white guys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, come on.
Oh, really?
Were they chasing after you?
No, I think they were running away. Because that's the direction that they were driving in, because they turned off like into one of the side streets. But how is that? Like, this poor guy's just parked his car out there. He's going to come out and the lights are going to be gone. First, I thought they were like trying to pry the bumper off. Mm. But like, what are you going to do with the bumper? I think it's the lights. And those lights are expensive. It's like $1,000
you,
a pop. You know?
Prevented right. You prevented a crime. Well done, Pums.
A crime.
A crime. So. This is an interesting story. and this probably deserves a little more chat, maybe in the Burning Platform later on. You know, we often speak on this show, and I know a lot of people think I'm talking nonsense, but we talk about what a rubbish news organization Independent Online is and the Independent Newspaper Group. They really are a rubbish fake news organization. And to prove my point, ABSA, who are a reputable bank in South Africa, have decided they're going to do a Gupta on Iqbal Serve. Basically, Iqbal Serve is now persona non grata on the banking system in ABSA. And remember, they did that to the Gupta family in 2016. They cut them off, basically. Amabungani has established, and this story comes straight from Amabungani, they've established that on the 27th of August last year, ABSA sent letters to all their clients who are directly or indirectly involved with Serve's Sekunjalo Investment Holdings, gave them 60 days notice for the termination of services. In subsequent court proceedings late last year, ABSA General Counsel Martinez Janssen van Rensburg insisted that ABSA's continued association with customers in the Sekunjalo group posed intolerable reputational, commercial, and legal risks. So they have cut Iqbal Serve off. So it's not fake news when we say that they're a dodgy company. Even one of the big banks, ABSA, and it's to their credit, actually, that they've decided not to do business with these guys. They've decided they are not worth taking the risk on. How's that? What do you think? Crooks.
There's a lot more dodgy business happening at that Sekunjalo than just the IOL story.
Oh, definitely.
Iqbal Serve is up to some really shady stuff.
That's right. And speaking of shady stuff, the social media giant Facebook banned Donald Trump from its platform in January following riots by supporters in the Capitol in Washington. Lara Trump, a Fox News contributor, posted a video of herself interviewing Donald Trump on a range of issues. That's his daughter-in-law, Lara. And she later posted a screenshot of an email she received from Facebook warning her of the ban. So he is persona non grata on Facebook now. You cannot, even though he was a former president of the United States, if you interview Donald Trump, they will not allow you to broadcast that. Now, that's interesting because you can still, you know, on Facebook, there are all kinds of really dodgy things happening, including there are Facebook groups with, you know, people who have very, very dangerous political ideas. There are people who are reviewing Mein Kampf. There are people who are actively recruiting for terror cells. But Donald Trump is, according to Facebook, a no-go zone, so they will not allow you to interview him at all. I don't know whether that's a good idea. Even Angela Merkel and Macron of France have said that they think that that's probably quite a dangerous thing. So I'm not surprised. Have you?
Have you seen Russell Crowe in The Loudest Voice?
No.
Oh, guys, do yourselves a favor. You've got to watch it. It's about the rise and rise of Fox News.
Oh, yeah.
And, okay. You've got to watch it.
This will be the Loudest Voice. This will be the third movie that they've made about Fox News. We've never seen a movie about CNN or...
This one's about Roger Ailes.
Yeah.
Particularly.
Right.
You know, it's about Roger. It's Roger very Ailes. Focused on Roger.
He was the guy who featured so heavily in that last movie with Charlize Theron and... the
Bombshell.
One about Bombshell, that was one with Megyn Kelly, but Roger Ailes was kind of the main, what would you call him, the antagonist in that movie,
well,
too.
Well, he's the guy that built the network.
That's
he
right.
He built Fox News.
That's right.
He got the money from Rupert.
Mm-hmm.
Bless you, Sia.
Well,
I'm so glad you're sneezing over there far away, socially distanced from me.
Let us cross to Sean Saunders. I'm so pleased we could see you, Sean, because yesterday we tried to talk to you and we couldn't get on for some reason. So it's good to see you. How are you doing, dude?
Morning, Gareth. Yeah, I'm great, thanks. I was actually in hospital yesterday, so that's why I couldn't speak to you guys.
For what? Is it serious?
Oh, no, not serious at all. I just had a stiff neck, and I went to go see my GP and was like, hey, listen, you know, my neck's a little bit stiff. And he was like, well, maybe you need to go in to get a meningitis test. Fortunately, no meningitis. So it was more just getting that checked out than anything else.
That's quite serious. I mean, like meningitis can kill you.
Yeah, well, you don't want to be the doctor that says, listen, you don't have meningitis, you do have meningitis, right? So that's sort of just, you know, more of a check than anything else.
So did they have to go and do one of those lumbar punctures and check that way because they check? Oh, really? So they check the cerebral spinal fluid and they have to get that out of your spine. Yeah. So that must have been sore as hell.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, Sia, you messaged me probably about 30 minutes before I had that done. Oh. And I was like, no, listen, I'm not going to be able to come to, I'm at hospital, I'm not going to be able to make it to the show. And then I had that done. And I can assure you that they gave me a fair amount of drugs as well for that. So I would have been on the show and you would have seen a very kind of different show, I suppose. But yeah, no, it's all good.
Well, I'm glad you're all right. Let's talk about the world of cryptocurrencies. Sean is the co-founder of Revix. You can sign up at Revix for free and we'll tell you why you should in a second. But we've got to fill in all the things that have happened in the last week. When we spoke to you last week, Sean, I think we were trading around $52,000. It's now rapidly approaching $59,000 again. If we just listened to you in a week, if you invested, say, 100,000 Rand, you would have made between 10 and 15 grand in just a week. So, you know, even if you're just a gambler, an inveterate gambler, this is a great place to gamble. But if you're really taking cryptocurrency seriously, Sean gives us the lowdown on what's happening. And this week, we've got to talk a little bit about PayPal and Visa because they've made some big announcements. Tell us what's happened.
So, yeah, really, really big news. But before I actually get in, let me just quickly give everyone an update of what's going on in the world of crypto. So Bitcoin's at $59,300. It's up 14% this last week. Ethereum is up 22%. It's at $1,920. And you've had the likes of Binance Coin, Cardano, and Polkadot. They're all up more than 25% this last week. Woo-hoo. So the sort of price changes are actually kind of in a segue into what's been going on from a news standpoint, right? And what's been going on is...
Before you give us that news, a lot of people ask me, which tracker do you use to track the price? Do you actually use Revix? Have you guys got a counter on your website?
So what we do at Revix is we aggregate the prices from across the world, right? And the way that we generally do that is we plug into a variety of pricing providers. The most commonly used one in the crypto space is a company called CoinMarketCap. They aggregate prices from over 400 different exchanges. Okay. And I'd probably say that they're the most reliable from a pricing perspective. So you can head over to coinmarketcap.com if you want to see those.
Brilliant.
So anyway, a bit of info on what's been going on in the world of crypto, though. So the first big news this week was that Visa has partnered with USDC. That's USD Coin. Mm-hmm. So a bit of background, Revix offers USDC as an investable asset. Now, USD Coin is a cryptocurrency that's a stable coin that is tied to the US dollar. So one USDC is equivalent to one US dollar. The difference between holding actual dollars versus holding USDC is that USDC trades 24/7, 365, and it's traded peer-to-peer on a blockchain, and that's the Ethereum blockchain.
Cool.
So it's different to dollars in that it's almost better in every single aspect. There's no additional fees you pay by holding USDC in South Africa, and this is something that's pretty neat. We've brought all that USDC onshore. So when you actually start buying USDC on the Revix platform, you're actually not making use of your annual discretionary allowance. For international investors, obviously, that's not a concern at all, but that's a pretty neat feature. So the big news really is that USDC has partnered with Visa, meaning that any payment can be made in USDC and converted into any fiat currency. So, you know, you want to buy, I don't know, something online, right? You go, you're a South African, you're wanting to buy something from Amazon. You spend your USDC that you potentially own on Amazon, that gets converted into whichever currency the seller requires you to convert to. So that could convert to Rand. So it just acts like any other currency. So that's a pretty big move forward in the crypto space. You know, Visa is the biggest card acquirer in the world. So naturally, that's, you know, that shot the market up a good 5 or 10%. So sort of depending on when you were looking at it. Then the next big news, which is even bigger news, was that PayPal's entered the space. And we've spoken about PayPal before, but they've entered the space now with kind of both feet. So what they are now doing is they're enabling all their current customers, that's global customers, and there's quite a few of them, you know, you're looking at over 100 million, all those current customers to be able to make use of Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, and Bitcoin Cash when making payments. So, wow. You know, this could be to any single PayPal merchant, and that means that you can use cryptocurrencies in the same way that you can use currencies. To say that this is a big step forward for the crypto ecosystem is a complete understatement. I mean, you've seen some really big names come out this week, BlackRock, Fidelity. I mean, some analysts that were very bearish, meaning that they weren't very positive on the crypto market 12 months ago, come out now going, well, you know, you could actually see Bitcoin going to $150,000 and $170,000. I mean, that's what their two top analysts said, which is like, you know, if you look at sort of where Bitcoin is today, sitting around $60,000, I mean, it's a very big move up. And something else which is really interesting, which we need to talk about, is that there's a really big supply side issue with Bitcoin at this point in time. And this is not looking at the other cryptocurrencies. I mean, they're all facing a similar sort of supply issue. But with Bitcoin in particular, remember, you've got a fixed number of Bitcoin that come onto the market every single 10 minutes. And that means that there's a fixed inflation rate. Mm-hmm. Now, with the Bitcoin halving that took place last year, and if you, you know, you need to understand a little bit more about that, maybe we can talk about that on another show. But essentially what that meant is that the supply of Bitcoin that were coming onto the market was halved. And that means that the inflation rate declined. So currently you've got an inflation rate of about 2.1% with Bitcoin. Now, the top four companies that own Bitcoin own 40%, or they've taken up 40% of all of 2021's supply of Bitcoin. Now, that is Tesla, MicroStrategy, Galaxy Digital, and Square. So you've had 40% of all the new Bitcoin that's being created in 2021 bought up by just these four companies. Now, that is a really big story. And I mean, if you've got other players entering the space, you know, demand and supply, what happens when you've got more demand than supply, prices increase? And that's exactly what you're seeing today.
Amazing. There's a lot of upside coming up by the looks of things. So this is just the beginning of, you know, kind of what's going to be a real roller coaster of a year, and probably a lot more up than anything else. Revex is really cool because if you've never been on their platform before, it is the perfect way to enter the crypto space. Maybe you've been thinking about it for a couple of months' time. Well, stop thinking about it and do, even if it's just a small amount of money. You don't have to invest a huge amount. You could put 500 Rand in and you can start off. They expose you to all the best performing cryptocurrencies in a nice index. Sean and his team rebalance that index regularly. So you can go in and you can get the best of everything, and you can own a diversified portfolio of the world's top cryptocurrencies, and they stay up to date. They'll keep you up to date. They've got great customer service. You can find out more at Revex.com. You can also join them on social media, Revex Invest, on Instagram, Facebook, and on Twitter at Revex Invest. So go and sign up today. Sean, thanks for the info.
Great, guys. Have a fantastic rest of the day. Chat to you soon.
Good to see you, man. Very, very good. Sounds exciting. There's never been, in all the times that we've been crossing to Sean in the last, what is it, you know, 2 years almost, there's never been a week where we've looked at each other and gone, it's nothing really to talk about today. And that's never been true of things like, you know, if we were talking about, let's say precious metals every day, there's sometimes slow little movements this way or that way, but it's not always dramatic. This is exciting. Cryptocurrencies is exciting. Mm. There's a lot going on. So I'm very, very excited, speaking of exciting, about the Burning Platform this morning. It is our first Burning Platform of April. Don't fall for any April Fool's jokes this morning.
All right.
There's going to be a lot of those stupid things going around. People hate them, and some people love them. But I think they're probably mostly stupid. It's such an old school thing to do. Remember how the each of the newspapers would have some April Fool's joke put me in their morning edition? And then by the afternoon, they'd bring out some sort of correction and say, ha ha, April Fool. But I mean, some people might have actually reacted.
I saw something on Adweek this week.
Yeah.
About Volkswagen in the US wanting to rebrand to Volkswagen. Right, because Volkswagen. And I actually had a real moment of like, what? And then last night I saw a thing on Adweek saying, it's just an April Fool's joke. Because I was just like, really? Would they rename, would they rebrand Volkswagen after so long?
Jeez, I mean, that would be such a mistake.
They were able to export that car after World War II, where Americans going back home from the war suddenly came home, and in the streets there were Fauves, right? And they were just fighting the Germans, and they were able to market that car and sell it and make it a good seller in America with the name Volkswagen. And now they want to like rebrand it. I did have a moment. I did have a like an advertising geek moment.
Yeah, I mean, what to have had that story and not made use of it would just be such a waste, right? I mean, it would be what's the word? Not critical. It would be sad. It would be tragic.
Imagine
if they did that. Suicide. They wasted that. I just got to show you one quick thing.
Suicide.
This is hilarious, and a lot of people have been talking about this. So I didn't even know, but Faith Mutambi is still in government. She's very much in government. In fact, she's the, I think, Minister for Traditional Affairs or something. Did you see what happened yesterday?
On a Zoom.
Is it 2 days ago? This happened on a Zoom call. Faith Mutambi is busy interviewing one of the traditional leaders in the House of Traditional Leaders. And his wife or his girlfriend or someone walks around bare-breasted in the background. And Faith, like,
tits
hanging out. So look at this. Take a look at this, and then we'll discuss.
No,
you know.
No,
yes.
No,
watch. Here
no,
it is.
Gary,
here it is.
No.
Yeah, boy.
No, don't
yeah,
show
boy.
It.
No, we got to watch. This is all over the internet anyway. Look. Here we go.
No.
They could not be paid, and up until now, they still have a problem because that is not clear. It's still not clear. So.
Behind you is not properly. We are seeing everything. Joel. Did you tell them you are seeing it? It is very disturbing what we are seeing.
She says, it is very disturbing what we are seeing. That person is not properly dressed. And then she goes, yo. So.
my takeaway in the longer version of that video, I think, is when Faith says, and this is not your first time. So this person always has people just walking in the background.
Although I think if she was just bare-breasted, I wouldn't have had a problem with that, right? Because I would have been like, maybe it's like she's in a traditional outfit of some sort. But she's properly naked, all naked, all the way.
Pregnant.
Like, just bare-breasted, I wouldn't have had a problem with it. But like, Pum, you know, like we're seeing the folds like touching her hips there.
Pums, we did it first because it happened here on our show. When we had Simi Aref on the other day, and Simi's girlfriend was walking around in the background, and she didn't know he was on a live show, and she was wearing just a very, very skimpy pair of panties, and we had to blur her out in the special recording afterwards. But anyone who was watching live.
It's been more than a year. It's been more than a year. It's been more than a year. Okay? There is no reason why we're still here.
Well,
there's no reason why we're still here, guys.
There's lots of excitement.
All I'm saying is, remember that this is like a traditional leaders' council that they were having this conversation in. And all I'm saying is, if she were just bare-breasted, it wouldn't have been problematic. But she's like all the way naked.
And then he doesn't. He has no other way to explain it except going, "You're." So he knows there's no way he can defend himself.
I love what you just said, Sia, and it's something Chris says as well. I love that Faith said, this is not the first time.
This is not. When?
All right.
Always up here with the Mapunapuna
lady. This is how you roll here. This is how you roll.
Mapun,
I'm just saying.
The Madonna of the Matswele in the background there. So it is Thursday. We've got the Burning Platform coming up next. CliffCentral.com. It's just after 7 o'clock. CliffCentral.com.